I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WIAB. I am your host for 2 hours a day, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there and the antidote to red and blue Kool-Aid radio. I rip apart the two-party system. I've got plenty on that today. We're headed into midterms, and I would imagine we're going to see a bit of a red wave around the country as the left has lost its ever-loving mind. But what you're going to do is you're going to flow right into the loving arms of the red team, and probably not always getting exactly what you expect. We'll talk about one here locally in particular that is attending quite the event I'm sure many people will be proud of. Anyway, we'll get to that in just a little bit. Got quotes of the day today, and there's a meme of the week today too. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a meme floating around. It's a picture of Jeffrey Epstein. Underneath the picture is captioned, "The economy didn't kill itself." Memes keep me alive. Memes keep me safe, and memes keep me laughing. So Jeffrey Epstein says the economy didn't kill itself. Let's see. What else we got here? Quotes of the day. Ronald Reagan said, I guess we better past tense that one. Ronald Reagan said, if we don't have inflation because we are living too well, we have it because government is living too well. You know, Ronald Reagan, difference between then and now, Ronald Reagan took office when inflation was running rampant, and he actually did something about it along with the Federal Reserve at the time. Caused a lot of pain, they withstood it, and got America back on track. This time, I don't think they're going to pull it off. I think they're going to let it go. You know, speaking of Epstein, how's that Ghislaine Maxwell trial coming along? Has anybody seen, heard, hide, no hair? Has anybody seen a current picture of Ghislaine Maxwell over the past 2 years? I am still asking this question. I can't even remember exactly what happened to the first trial. Was it a mistrial? Some juror had not disclosed something. I can't remember exactly what happened with that, but I'm just curious. Anybody seen any pictures of Ghislaine Maxwell through all the comings and goings from court, the booking pictures? Don't they take their picture like every year that you're in jail? You know, you start to look different. Don't they retake the pictures? I mean, anything? Anyone seen anything from Ghislaine Maxwell? How about the Johns? She's been in, air quotes here in the studio, custody. Yeah, I suspect she's not even been arrested. But supposedly she's been in custody for quite some time. Nobody implicated in this mammoth worldwide international sex trafficking ring among the powerful? Have we heard one single name? Yeah, me either. Just interesting how that's kind of gone away. This was another meme that was out there. I don't know if this is attributed to a quote for anybody, but boy, this one really kind of hit home, and it certainly applies to me, and it should apply to most people, but see if you're guilty of this. If you can't look back at your younger self and realize that you were an idiot, you are probably still an idiot. That's very true for me. I have professed my earlier stupidity as I was a neocon, warmongering, Kool-Aid drinking Republican all through the 1990s. Really ashamed of the things that I said, and apologize to those citizens worldwide upon whose throat I sought to have the American boot, not realizing how evil that was. George Carlin said, "You know how I define the economic and social classes in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all the work. The poor are there just to scare the bleep out of the middle class, keep them showing up at those jobs." I keep running across more and more Carlin clips, quotes. I would imagine I'll keep them coming. I'll probably have one a day. The guy was very prolific. And then this was got to be certainly not inspirational. Creepy. Creepy. We've got plenty of creepy news coming on here, but I don't know. This is making the rounds. I'm sure people heard it. This was at the World Economic Forum. This is, I assume this must be new. You know, you really can't tell. That World Economic Forum backdrop, the blue one with their logo on it, is so ubiquitous for all of these globalists. I don't know how many times these people meet. So I don't know if this is an old clip or if this is something that's just been said, but it's making the rounds right now. This is Albert Bourla. He is the CEO of Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, talking about this great new technology they're working on when it comes to medicines and I presume vaccines as well.
It is a basically biological chip that it is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, compliance, the insurance companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do take them. It is fascinating what happens in this field.
So if you can't understand him with his thick accent, I don't know what he is speaking there. I don't know where he's, is that just evil? And this is Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. He's got a, they got a technology they can put into a tablet, and when you swallow it, when it goes down in your stomach and it digests, it sends out a signal letting everybody know that you took your pills. He said, imagine what this could mean to compliance. You're an insurance company, a doctor. I mean, how many movies do we have to see where somebody is given pills that, you know, are actually designed to keep them in a fog and keep them out of circulation, and they hide them under the mattress. You know, they put them in their mouth and then they spit them out. We all saw Misery with James Caan and Kathy Bates. Imagine if you were able to read. I want to make sure this thing is in there anyway. They're some kind of a chip into a pill that will let the authorities know that you have properly taken your medication. This is just another conspiracy theory that has come true, right? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to take a quick break and then we're going to get into what was certainly the news of the weekend, the last few days. I haven't covered it here, but it is a developing story with all of the breathlessness in the reporting around it. COVID's old news. We're on to the next thing. We'll do that when we come back. Can't see the end. Skies cocked back. Shotgun which can't defend. The rain then sends dripping. Acidic questions. Forcefully. The power of suggestion. Then with the eyes shut. Looking through the rust and rotten dust. A small spot of light floods the floor. And pours over the rusted world of pretend. And the eyes ease open and it's dark again. From the top to the bottom. And the top I stop. At the core I forgot. Now, I would much prefer to laugh at this next story rather than take it seriously or think that they've got another plan for us. But unfortunately, I've run across some stuff that makes me not laugh so much and more clench my fist. We've heard over the past few days, the past couple of weeks, we've been hearing about a new surge in COVID cases. Anybody paying attention is finding out that the vaccinated actually are, I think, 5 to 8 times more likely to contract COVID multiple times. That's not really widely reported on the news, but the statistics that are coming out of places, particularly like Great Britain or other countries, are showing this. But they were talking about the rise in COVID cases. And now we're treated to the monkeypox. Now, this name itself is so absurd that you just want to think that this is just one of these one-off stories where they're just constantly trying to draw attention to something that's really small. And as of right now, it is very small, but of course that's how COVID started out too. You remember we had, 11 cases in the United States, and Trump said it was going down to zero. They were well contained. It was almost gone. We were going to eradicate it any minute now. These things always start small. I'll show you. I'm going to play a couple of clips here, and then I'll show you why we might need to be on guard for this and understand that this could be actually the next big thing.
Health officials warned today that additional cases of monkeypox are likely to be detected in the U.S. in the coming weeks. And the World Health Organization reports at least 80 confirmed cases of the disease in 11 countries.
So there he goes. It's 80 cases out of 7 billion people. There's probably 80 cases of everything on planet Earth right now. 80 is probably small. You name the rarest of rare diseases out there, there's probably more than 80 people that have them right now as we speak. I actually did a little bit of research, and monkeypox has been around for a while. There's outbreaks. Apparently, there was an outbreak here in 2003. I don't remember it because we didn't breathlessly report on every three cases of something we got and try to terrify our population, but that's what we do now. So it's small right now, but...
Investigators are still trying to confirm whether a patient admitted to a New York hospital this week has the disease. If so, it would be the second case here in the U.S. this year. Monkeypox can be fatal to 1 in 10 people who contract the virus. Still, health officials stress the risk to the general public is low.
They also told us that COVID, even Anthony Fauci came out and said, oh, no, this is nothing we need to be concerned with. Originally, this is kind of how they, you know, they got to ease you into it like a warm bath, kind of. This was taken up by the media across the spectrum, and it only took a weekend, and somebody, thank God for these people and their supercuts. I certainly don't have the time to do it, but somebody out there does. And so this is our media over the weekend.
Monkeypox.
View has symptoms associated with monkeypox.
Clusters of the virus have been reported in Britain, Spain, and Portugal, with more cases popping up in the U.S., Australia, and across Europe.
Tonight at Bellevue Hospital, doctors are treating a person who may have monkeypox.
A city that is still dealing with COVID and its latest surge, now comes a potentially new virus to New York City. This one is called monkeypox. What this is causing is pandemonium in the city, because hearing the word monkeypox after dealing with COVID, well, experts say this new virus could be spreading fast.
Scientists at Winnipeg's National Microbiology Lab.
So actually, this goes on. This is there's two more minutes of that, of just the supercut of the monkeypox on all of the networks. Now, I hope they're not diagnosing monkeypox using the picture that was circulating around with some of the news stories about monkeypox, because, again, some very smart, astute people out there that do their digital sleuthing found out it was actually a picture from a shingles, either an advertisement or like NIH image of shingles, and they've been circulating this as if it was monkeypox. Because either they're lazy or they're dishonest, probably a good chunk of both. This was Trump's FDA commissioner, who's now a Pfizer board member, Scott Gottlieb. He, of course, makes the rounds, and he was asked about the monkeypox.
What the heck is monkeypox, and do we actually need to worry about this?
Well, look, I think now that there's been community spread, it may be hard to fully snuff this out. I don't think it's going to become a major epidemic, because this is a virus that's difficult to spread. You need sustained close contact or contact with the open sores. But there's so many cases now that are disconnected. This is spreading in the community, and there may be a lot more infection in what we're picking up. It has a long incubation period, upwards of 21 days. So there may be a lot of people currently incubating the virus. There's probably a lot of people who went undiagnosed or misdiagnosed because doctors aren't looking for it. Mm-hmm. And given the fact that we've found so many disconnected cases, it does suggest that the spread right now is pretty wide.
That concerns me. I mean, what is this thing? What happens if you get it?
Well, look, it could be dangerous. You know, the case fatality rate for the particular strain that seems to be spreading is anywhere from 1 to 4%. It's particularly dangerous in immune-compromised individuals, people.
So here we go again. This supposed fatality rate of 1 to 4% is obviously multiples of what COVID was. And I'm going to show you in just a second with a clip from a while ago. Recent memory or recent history, not that far long ago. But I've always wondered, the way we've lost our mind around COVID. Think about all the things that we did to COVID. We just destroyed people. We destroyed children's lives. We've experimented on people. We've injured hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people with this experimental shot around a disease that was 99.9% survivable for just about anybody under 70 years old, particularly if your health was, if you're in good shape. And I kept saying, just imagine what they would do if we had an actual disease with a real death rate to it. Now, hang on with me, because you're already hearing this thing requires close contact. Some people are suggesting it might be sexually transmitted. So this is not going to be a situation like we had with COVID. This is a different beast. But just hang with me. I'm going to show you. There's one very concerning part of one clip that we're going to play in just a second. This is still Scott Gottlieb. Of course, he goes on CNBC. He goes on the financial networks. This is a Pfizer executive. No, they're not doing health reporting. They're doing investor reporting. I guess Pfizer is just licking its chops about this new disease.
Who are vulnerable? It's also, sort of a disabling virus. It can last 2 to 4 months. You get fever, lymphadenopathy in the sort of prodrome phase, the lead-up phase. Then you develop these vesicles that can last anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. So, it's a significant virus. I don't think it's going to be widespread in terms of an epidemic that we've seen, in the order of COVID for sure. But we could get low-level spread that just becomes hard to snuff out. There are anywhere from 5 to 10,000 cases a year in the DRC. So there are countries where this is endemic, and it's not infrequent. And now that it's spreading in the community here in Western Europe and parts of the United States, it appears to be, have gotten into this country. Again, it could be hard to fully snuff out. We're not going to mass vaccinate for it. They're going to try to ring vaccinate using the vaccinia virus vaccine. That's not a vaccine a lot of people are going to want to take. So it could be hard to deploy public health measures to try to get a handle on this. That's the concern, not a widespread epidemic here at this point, but this just low-level persistent spread, cases popping up here and there, outbreaks, that could be, a risk to individuals and certainly a headline risk.
Okay, so, what he says is actually kind of reassuring. He says, look, not really going to be something that's probably going to be as big as COVID. He even says, this is a board director of Pfizer, says, I don't think this is something we can vaccinate our way out of. We may do ring vaccinations, whatever the hell that means. I guess that means if somebody comes down with it, then everybody that was around them in that ring, in the close proximity, you're getting a shot. But it was this that was most concerning to me, and the reason that I say maybe even though this doesn't seem to be highly transmissible through casual contact, the numbers of people who actually have this are very small. But the problem is what we need to look to are what they've been preparing for, what they've been exercising around. This is from a video that was put out on November 23rd of 2021. In March of 2021, the NTI, that's the Nuclear Threat Initiative, partnered with the Munich Security Conference to conduct a tabletop exercise on reducing high-consequence biological threats. So this is from March of 2021. They did one of these tabletop exercises. Most people now are familiar with Event 201 that simulated a coronavirus going around the world. And within a year, we had a coronavirus going around the world. This is from March of 2021. And I'm going to let you listen to one of the presenters here. What is this woman's name? I don't have it in front of me. She doesn't say it because I'm not going to give you the full entrance. But they put out a video on this thing. And there was one comment inside the video that really caused me some level of concern. This is the presenter. They're doing a, when they do these tabletop exercises, these things are often done virtually. So all of these people, there were 19 health, air quotes here in the studio, leaders that participated in this thing all around the world. This woman is addressing all of them, and then she's gonna tell you about a little video they've put together for this exercise.
Extremely grateful to our colleagues at the Munich Security Conference, who continue to be excellent partners, and we're delighted to have the opportunity to work with them. The report we're publishing today shares the lessons of the tabletop exercise that we jointly hosted in March of this year. And we hope to be able not only to give you some sense of what that exercise involved, the scenario being addressed, and the issues and concerns that the exercise helped to surface, but to also have a discussion that will put many of those ideas and the subsequent recommendations into the broader context of our COVID experience and beyond. So I'm very pleased to be able to kick off this session first by sharing a brief video excerpt from this exercise, which provides a short preview of the fictional scenario that we discussed. Thank you.
Okay, so here it is. They put out these produced videos They did this, I believe, with Event 201. But you'll see these things. So they've got the fake broadcaster, I believe they do on the tag on this thing, GNN, which I can only assume, now that I say it out loud, means Global News Network. And so they use, you know, a fake announcer and some footage from other things to make it look like this is real news reporting. But it also has a lot of titles I'll have to read to you as they come onto the screen. Again, this is the Nuclear Threat Initiative on their March 2021 exercise, where they are trying to coordinate a global response to biological threats. This is a fictional scenario. This is from the video here.
There are growing questions today around a new and deadly outbreak.
Another global outbreak. But this time, it's different.
Scientists determined that this monkeypox virus was engineered.
Biological terrorism in one region unleashed on the rest of the world. Hazmat suits, stretchers, the oxygen tents, billions of cases, hundreds of millions dead.
With limited antiviral drugs and no known effective treatments, countries around the world are struggling to control another pandemic with already devastating effects.
Poor oversight and gaps in global governance leave us vulnerable to catastrophic biological threats. Can the international community act quickly enough?
We're seeing far fewer cases in countries where governments took early and decisive action.
That is the quote right there that really sets off my spidey senses. I'll let you hear this again. This is, you know, it's a fake reporter. They're pretending they're doing this. You know, they're showing clips from news programs, and listen to what this guy says. The text on this video says, can the international community act quickly enough?
We're seeing far fewer cases in countries where governments took early and decisive action.
So, early and decisive action. Seeing far better results in countries that took early and decisive action. See, what they think that they, the reason that they failed on COVID was not because everything they suggested was wrong. They don't look to Sweden and to Florida and to South Dakota and see that they had absolutely no difference. As a matter of fact, they mostly fared better in COVID than places that did these early, swift responses, like New York and California. Everywhere they did early and swift responses to COVID, it turned out worse with longer-lasting effects. Effects of mental health, delayed medical treatment, all the things we already know about COVID, all of the ancillary deaths that will be around the reaction to COVID. But that what they're saying in this thing, and again, this is from an exercise back in March of 2021 about this global monkeypox engineered biological weapon. And this guy says the places that fared best were those that made swift and decisive action at the beginning of this thing.
And some international experts are urging the WHO to adopt a phased approach to warnings.
The time to prepare for the next global pandemic is now. Learn more at nti.org/bio. So this is another tabletop exercise coming to life. So it is right now, it's small, certainly a small number of people. Doesn't look like it's really communicable outside of sexually or some extremely close contact. Of course, that will not stop the masking crowd. The masking crowd is already full in their masks as we speak right now, still to COVID, even with no evidence of anything. So the masks with anything like this will be coming back, if they're not already going to come back because of COVID cases increasing. So this is why I think we need to keep an eye on this. Michael Krieger, who's got a great blog called Liberty Blitzkrieg, he tweeted out the WHO pandemic treaty is an attempt to usher in a streamlined system of global control ahead of economic collapse. That's why they're rushing. And I think he's dead on. It is the economic collapse. They need to take your mind off of that. They may need to make you think it was a disease that caused all of these economic problems that we're having right now. Everything was humming along perfectly until this COVID came out of the woodwork, or then the monkeypox came out. We were doing great. Central banks were in control. Unemployment was low, and then this disease came around and wrecked it all. No, they have destroyed the financial system around the world, and they are trying to hide that and blame it on these viruses that they're pointing to as the reason for the collapse of these economies. I've been saying that basically since the day COVID was announced and we saw how serious it was and the disruptions to things. Felt to me like they're hiding something. I saw something that was saying that, you know, we talked about the overnight, the repo markets, which I can't even explain. I'd have to watch another tutorial on them to explain them to you. But it's the overnight lending markets. And something in September of 2019 happened. And all of a sudden, the amount required in this overnight for the Federal Reserve to inject into these overnight lendings just went off the charts. Apparently, at the time, it was very concerning. This was back in September, I believe, of 2019 when this started. And then they said, well, we're just going to do these emergency injections for tonight. And then they said, well, we're just going to do them for this week. And then they said, well, we're just going to do these emergency injections into the overnight lending markets for just a few weeks. We are now in 2022. And apparently, even from those emergency measures they took in September of 2019, it's something like tripled now. And they're almost up to $2 trillion a night they're having to put into these overnight markets. I don't know what that means, but it's not normal. And I don't think it means it's anything good. So is this what they're doing? As they see this economic collapse on the horizon, we're going to see food shortages, we're going to see rampant inflation. This will eventually lead to job losses and full-on economic crisis. Are they going to try to hide it now behind monkey virus, coronavirus combo? We'll see. But the thing you can do, the thing that most people probably listening to this station believe is that, well, what we need to do to defeat those globalists is we just need to get out there and vote a little harder and elect those Republicans. Well, I got an interesting story to follow up that little thesis when I come back. Stay with me. Ready or not, here comes the boys for the sound. Here comes the ready or not. How you like me now? I say we rep the sound. So what you talking about? I'm not running out my mouth. I know this without a doubt. Cause if you know these streets, then these streets know you. And when it's time to handle business, then we know what to do. What to do? Me and my crew, we stay true, old school and new. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So we've got a global contagion now of monkeypox after the global pandemic of coronavirus. These globalists are not done with us in any way, shape, or form. A lot of people are seeing this. I've been told to ignore all of the globalists that were in the Trump administration, so we should definitely focus in just on the globalists of the Democrats. And there certainly are a ton of them. You know, we can talk about the Soros group, these people. And so the way out for a lot of conservatives that see this problem with globalism and stripping us of our national sovereignty with things like this WHO pandemic treaty is to get rid of the Biden administration and get rid of all these Democrats. And boy, you sure are right, because I was looking at the Davos crowd is getting together. The World Economic Forum is set to have their meeting soon. And here's some of the things that they're going to be discussing at the World Economic Forum in Davos 2022. Experience the future of cooperation, the global collaboration village. Staying on course for nature action, future-proofing health systems, accelerating the reskilling revolution for the green transition, the net and net zero, the future of globalization, unlocking carbon markets, and of course, a special address by anyone? Anyone? Who do you think is going to address a special address from a world leader to the World Economic Forum? That's right, Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, will be coming in doing another, I guess, one of his Zooms. Maybe he's going to make the trip. He's all over the media, isn't he? For a guy running for his life out on the front lines with the troops, he's got a lot of time for Zoom calls. He's at the Grammys. He's all over the place, so he will be there too. So these are the globalist meeting for the World Economic Forum. And listen to some of these Democrat creatures that are going to be attending this thing. Gina Raimondo, she's the Secretary of Commerce for the United States. John F. Kerry, Special Presidential Envoy for Climate of the United States of America. Bill Keating, he's a congressman from Massachusetts, a Democrat. Madeline Dean, a Democrat congresswoman from Pennsylvania. Ted Lieu, congressman, Democrat from California. Ann Wagner, a congresswoman from Missouri. Republican. Daniel Muser, a congressman from Pennsylvania, Republican. Okay, here it goes. Christopher Coons, a senator from Delaware. He's a Democrat. Daryl Issa, congressman from California. Huh, he's a Republican. Dean Phillips, congressman from Minnesota. Democrat. There we go, those dang Democrats. Deborah Fisher, senator from Nebraska. Oops, Republican. Eric Holcomb, governor of Indiana. Republican. Larry Hogan, governor of Maryland, Republican. Oh, here we go. Gregory Meeks, congressman from New York, Democrat. John Hickenlooper, senator from Colorado, Democrat. Uh-oh. Michael McCaul, I've played some of his warmongering on the show before and blasted him. Never been more proud. He's a congressman from Texas, Republican. Pat Toomey, Republican from Pennsylvania. Patrick Leahy, Democrat from Vermont. Robert Mendez, senator from New Jersey, another Democrat. And then there's this one. We've made it, people. We have arrived as the state of Mississippi. Roger F. Wicker, the senator from Mississippi, the Republican, will be attending the World Economic Forum. He is now part of the Davos crowd. And again, let me tell you what Roger Wicker is signing up to go attend to. He wants to attend sessions to experience the future of cooperation, the global collaboration village. He's going to find out all about how to accelerate the reskilling revolution for the green transition. He wants to know, Roger Wicker wants to know, what is that net in net zero in the future of globalization? And of course, he wants to attend the World Economic Forum and get to that special address by Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. Yeah, you can keep voting as hard as you want. Just keep, I'm telling you, November, it's the midterms. This is the existential battle for the future of America. Push that button as hard as you can for that Republican. Get all your friends to rush out there and do it. Should we be proud of this? The little old Mississippi boy has made his way all the way to Davos and the World Economic Forum. Now, I was looking at the list. There's a full list. And I'll tell you where I found this report. It was actually on the Ron Paul Institute. This is who is putting out the list of attendees, both Republican and Democrat, to the World Economic Forum. And it's just so funny to me. You know, this is the Ron Paul Institute puts this stuff out. Yet Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity convinced you to not vote for Ron Paul in 2008, 2012, and instead support John McCain and Mitt Romney. And Sean Hannity is still one of the dreamiest boys on the right when it comes to political commentators. So Ron Paul is actually opposed to this idea of globalization in favor of national sovereignty. But John Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and most of the gang, the Mark Levins of the world, told you to go out there and make sure you throw your weight behind a John McCain and a Mitt Romney instead in those years. But I was looking at this list. They've released an entire list of the people that are attending. It's long. But I was looking, it's broken down by country, and I just was curious. I looked this up when I was going through it. It's in alphabetical order by country. So I'm going down through the alphabet. I see Panama, Poland, Peru, Qatar. Then we get into the R's, the Republic of Korea, Republic of North Macedonia, Romania, and then Rwanda, and then Saudi Arabia. You know what's missing out of those countries that are listed in alphabetical order? I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. We got Kenya, Jordan, Japan, Italy, Malawi, Malaysia, Moldova, when I'm going through it. But I just found that was a little interesting that it seems like we skipped a country there. If we're going in alphabetical, we got Republic of North Korea, Rwanda. Something's missing right between there. And I'm good with my public school education. I remember how to do alphabetization. I know how to alphabetize things. There's no Russia in there. Huh. That's interesting. So the country that we're actually facing off with now, more about that next hour, and you may not be happy with my report on this, on the conflict with Russia that I give you next hour, but Russia's not attending the globalist confab at Davos 2022 with the World Economic Forum. It's just something to think about. I'll be right back.
Maybe I'm the one, maybe I'm the one who is the schizophrenic psycho, yeah. Maybe I'm the one, maybe I'm the one who is the schizophrenic psycho.
All right, only got a few minutes left in this hour, and then we're going to come back. Somebody did an interview about Ukraine that I think is, it's kind of lengthy, but there's a lot to parse out of it. It certainly is, it's something that's important to us. I was looking during the break here, see if I could find this story that, yeah, here it is. Zelensky, who will be speaking to Roger Wicker at the World Economic Forum. He said the war in his country could only end at the negotiating table and signaled talks with Russia could begin soon. However, an advisor to Zelensky said diplomacy was counterproductive for Kiev. Now, you know who puts these advisors in place in the Ukrainian government, don't you? We do. NATO does. Western powers do, led by the United States. Everybody that goes as an advisor to Zelensky, I'm sure, is signed off on by the United States. We picked their whole damn government back in 2014. There's a recorded leaked call proving it. During a Ukrainian television appearance on Saturday, Zelensky laid out a path to resolve the war by talking with Russia. Quote, there are things that can only be reached at the negotiating table. He added the war, quote, will be bloody, there will be fighting, but will only definitively end through diplomacy. And it may be that Zelensky is starting to feel a little bit of heat. Maybe the Ukrainians are starting to pick up on the fact that this guy could have solved this whole thing in an afternoon by just acknowledging that they're not going to join NATO and stop accepting weapons and money and NATO posturing in his country. He could have ended this or avoided the whole thing in an afternoon with one phone call and one-page document. Maybe the people of Ukraine are starting to catch on to that. Right now, they've had no diplomatic talks for over a month. The Kremlin blames Ukraine for the lack of diplomatic process. Last week, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Andrei Rudenko claimed Kiev has not responded to Moscow's proposals and left the negotiation table. Quote, no negotiations are not taking place. Ukraine is actually withdrawn from the negotiation process. That is all at the behest of Western powers. You have to understand what's going on when it comes to this situation over there. This is a war that Western powers want. This is not an unfortunate thing. This is not some radical madman, Vladimir Putin, who just woke up one morning and decided he's hell-bent on reconstituting the old Soviet Union, like the media tells you. None of those things actually took place. This is a war that the West wants. They've provoked it, and they're continuing to provoke it with trying to add new NATO members, Sweden and Finland, which has an extensive border with Russia itself. And so this is kind of interesting. Zelensky himself is probably fading a little bit of heat. Maybe he's got a tiny bit of his soul left, where he's watching Ukrainians die in large numbers in a war he knows he can't win for no benefit of Ukrainians. Ukraine's never going to get back eastern Ukraine again. They're going to fight over that thing for as long as Russia wants to stay there, which is probably for forever. And they're not getting Crimea back. The Crimean people don't want to be part of Ukraine. They could have solved this in an afternoon. But Zelensky may be seeing the handwriting on the wall here and is making public statements about negotiation. But when you see somebody that sees something that says his advisors, you know, pour cold water on this, they dispute this, you know, these kinds of, understand this is NATO and the United States, Great Britain. That's these countries that are actually throwing water on any negotiated settlement over there because they want this war. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind about it. One war is bad enough. Joe Biden could stumble and bumble our way into a second war. He was asked about what would happen if China made a move on Taiwan.
Very quickly, you didn't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict militarily for obvious reasons. Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are?
That's a commitment we made.
This is the, and you really kind of have to watch the video on this, because he really looks like he has no idea what he's saying. I think I need to sound tough here. Yes, the White House is walking back. White House officials later said that Biden simply meant the U.S. would provide military equipment to Taiwan, not send troops to defend the island if China attacks, which would constitute a landmark shift in policy. The funny thing to me about this is, and I'm always kind of on hypocrisy alert, and I encourage everybody to do their own self-assessment of hypocrisy. How many people on the right are ready for this war with China? This is all I hear from conservatives. Oh, if China makes a move on Taiwan, now that's a cause for war. Russia moves into Ukraine, you're against that war because you've been told by some people on the right to oppose that one. But everybody's on the right is hell-bent on this war with China. They'd love to see us curtailing China. China's the great threat, Mike. We need to face off with China. So is everybody proud of Joe Biden now? Is Joe Biden your guy now because he's talking tough against China with Taiwan? You know, Joe Biden's supposed to be bought and paid for by China. Now he's showing you that he's willing to stand up to him. This should make people on the right celebrate. Can you even imagine those two wars going on simultaneously? More on Ukraine.
Well, I think that you're headed for a whole lot of trouble. That you're heading for a whole lot of trouble if you take your whiskey.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You're going to get something different on the show every single day, different than what most people would expect from conservative talk radio. I make no apologies for that, and I'm going to issue a big, fat, ginormous trigger alert right now to a lot of people. The war in Ukraine is it's really a tragedy because it's not between people. It's not over anything other than the Nazi government installed by the United States in 2014 and the constant provocations against Russia for the past 30 years, shifting NATO closer and closer and making more and more threats and sanctioning more Russian entities. None of this had to happen. We're very culturally similar to Russia. Russia is no longer a communist empire, part of the Soviet Union. None of this needed to happen. This has been created out of whole cloth by a bunch of warmongers and psychopaths. And I find it incredibly tragic. Of course, all of these wars are created by warmongers and psychopaths and war profiteers to feed the defense industry, and it's their pipeline games. There's all kinds of things that go into this, nothing having to do with U.S. national security whatsoever. Yet the American taxpayer lines up, dutifully pays these taxes, and then cheers for endless streams of defense contractor spending. It's bizarro world to me. But I read an article the other day. They were looking at the top 10 Republican candidates for 2024. I don't like these kinds of stories. I can't stand this endless, you know, you don't get through one election before people start talking about who's going to run next time. We're always in election season. Politics is always invading our lives because we've allowed our government to get so big that everybody thinks who controls this is so important. And everybody, like I say, it's like two different insane people fighting over a loose handgun, trying to use this giant government to hold the other one up, to abuse the other side. It's just really gross exercise to do. But number one on the list for Republican Party, obviously, is Donald Trump. So I found this kind of interesting. I ran across a clip this weekend. It's a clip of the Lou Dobbs show. It's where all of the warmongers go to warmonger. Lou Dobbs, very popular, air quotes here in the studio, conservative talk show host. He's on Fox Business. And the title drew me to this video. It says, Trump says U.S. needs to get off the sidelines in Ukraine's fight for survival. And I'm going to play you some of this interview. Because I've been kind of wondering, you know, I made the point last week that this is a chance for Trump to really show his stuff and do something big if he could do it. Start talking about trying to bring the two sides together and end this war. That's not Trump's view at all. I had it dead wrong. I gave him a morsel of credit for maybe being somebody who could step up and be the sane voice in the middle of an insane situation. But boy, was I wrong. This is Donald Trump. Stuart Varney is going to start this off by asking him about, you know, how we should get involved. Again, this is the headline of this video is Trump says U.S. needs to get off the sidelines in Ukraine's fight for survival.
To watch.
There's this discussion about whether we should send jets, MiG jets, to help the Ukrainian Air Force. Would you send in that kind of help?
Well, maybe even more, to be honest with you. And I'm the one that would have stayed out. Let me just explain that Putin is saying things like, don't you dare send anything in. In the meantime, he's killing thousands and thousands of people. So he's acting like we're an aggressor. If we send in some old 44-year-old plane that probably gets shot out of the sky pretty quickly, and he's acting like we're terrible people if we do that. But he's killing tens of thousands of people.
This is classic Trump. It went from thousands to tens of thousands within the span of 30 seconds.
Far more than they're reporting. You don't knock down those buildings and blow up those buildings and they say two people were injured slightly. And thousands of people are being killed. And when he says, don't you dare do that, and we all say, oh, he said don't do it, we don't want to start. The fact is that what he's doing is a human tragedy. There's not been anything like this, in a sense, maybe ever, but certainly since World War II, when you look at it.
Oh, that's an interesting thing. I mean, what Vladimir Putin is doing in Ukraine, we haven't seen anything like that ever, but at least since World War II. Now, first of all, during Donald Trump's presidency, I didn't hear these strong words when the Ukrainian government was murdering 14,000 ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine. They were murdering their own people. They killed 14,000 people in the Donbass region in eastern Ukraine. These were ethnic Russians. The Nazi government that the U.S. installed in Kiev in 2014 pretty much publicly stated that they were going to ethnically cleanse this area, and they murdered 14,000 ethnic Russian Ukrainians, many of them during Trump's term in office. I didn't hear him talking about that. That's quite the crime. They were killing thousands of people. But he says there's nothing like this has happened since World War II. Somebody call up Donald Trump. I know a lot of listeners to the station are buddies with him. I've heard the really vocal support for him. Call him up and tell him about the Afghanistan invasion by the United States. He might have forgotten about this or may not really be aware of it. The United States invaded Afghanistan and tens of thousands of people died there. Iraq was invaded twice by the United States. And during the 1990s, even our Secretary of State, the evil looking up at us right now, Madeleine Albright, said 500,000 children died in Iraq during the 1990s as a result of our sanctions and our surrounding their country, cutting them off from the rest of the world. We had bombs dropped in Kosovo during the Clinton administration, too, during the 1990s. I kind of got some interesting stuff on Kosovo. I haven't really gotten into it, but I may spend some time on it in the future. The invasion of Vietnam. Millions of Vietnamese died during the invasion of Vietnam. The Libyan operation that has destroyed their country, that the United States was behind the civil war in Libya. How about the Syrian conflict, where the U.S. actually funded radical jihadists, particularly ISIS elements there? John McCain went over there and put his arm around the leader of ISIS in Syria. And tens of thousands of people were killed in Syria, hundreds of thousands, millions of them forced to flee for their lives. Maybe mention Yemen, because this is an important one. See, in Yemen, thousands of people, tens of thousands of people are being murdered right now by the Saudi regime. And our Congress actually tried to weigh in and get us out of that Yemeni war. Donald Trump vetoed that to make sure that we could continue to kill Yemenis. So when he says that nothing like this has happened since World War II, I got to tell you, I don't know where he gets that. Isn't that interesting? Maybe what he meant to say, maybe he just misspoke and said, look, nobody except the United States has killed this many people in an invasion since World War II. But he's not done.
But there's never been anything like this.
So what do you do now? You said you'd maybe do more than just send in the MiG jets, all right?
What I would do is we have tremendous military capability. And what we can do without planes, to be honest with you, without 44-year-old jets, what we can do is enormous. And we should be doing it. And we should be helping them to survive. And they're doing an amazing job. But, you know, I was the one that sent in the javelins. I mean, everyone refuses to acknowledge that, and
not
I took
me.
A lot of heat. And I said,
yeah, so what he's telling you right now, what Donald Trump is saying is, I'm the one who sent the javelins. Nobody gives me any credit for that, but I'm the one that sent the javelins. Let me tell you what happened with the javelins. During the Trump administration, they decided to send lethal weapons to Ukraine. And Ukrainian government, the Nazis and the Ukrainian government, used those against ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine. They murdered Russians in Ukraine with these weapons that Donald Trump is, I guess he's attempting to brag about sending them. He took taxpayer dollars, he took money out of your pocket, and then he sent lethal weapons to the Ukrainians so they could use them to murder some of their own citizens of ethnic, Russian ethnic descent, Russian speakers. This is part of the reason that Vladimir Putin has a problem in Ukraine in the first place, is that the Americans sent deadly weapons, lethal weapons, to the Ukrainians to be used against ethnic Russians. This is one of the things that kicked it off. Donald Trump is actually bragging about that. People don't like to talk about this, do they? I told you, you're going to get some. I issued as big a trigger alert as I possibly could.
But, you know, I was the one that sent in the javelins. I mean, everyone refuses to acknowledge that, and I took a lot of heat. And I sent it in very openly and glowingly, and they said Obama sent blankets and Trump sent javelins. Well,
yeah, there you go. Now, the Obama administration is the one that overthrew the government in the first place. Barack Obama, a blood-soaked monster, followed up by Donald Trump, who went, hey, I tell you what, not only did we knock over their government, install a Nazi regime in Ukraine, let's send them a bunch of weapons so they can kill a bunch of ethnic Russians. And Donald Trump goes on Stuart Varney, and he brags about it. I'm sure his base has not heard this particular dissection of what Donald Trump is telling you, but this is Donald Trump. Most conservatives I know don't want to see us involved in Ukraine. They think this is ridiculous. They're incensed at the $54 billion that we have now sent over to Ukraine in just the past 10 weeks. But your number one candidate for president of the United States, because I've really been kind of curious what his stance on this is. Turns out Donald Trump really is excited for World War III. He wants to see us do more. This is tough guy Donald Trump. I'm not done with him because I got a really surprising piece of this program when you come back. I know I'm supposed to ignore these things. It doesn't do anything. There's radios turning off all across central Mississippi right now because I dare to challenge this, but this is one of the most disgusting interviews I've heard Donald Trump give in quite a while.
A little bit of loneliness, a little bit of disregard, handful of complaints, but I can't help the fact that everyone can see these scars. I am what I want you to want, what I want you to feel, but it's like no matter what I do, I can't convince you to just believe this is real. So let go, watching you turn your back like you always do, face away and pretend that I'm not, but I'll be here because you're all that I got. I can't.
All right, I will repeat, which is a trigger alert for anybody who believes that Donald Trump is the savior of the United States out there, because I ran across this interview. The title of it from Fox Business is, Trump says U.S. needs to get off the sidelines in Ukraine, fight for survival. So what it turns out is, I mean, I've been watching this hapless, ridiculous, absurd, mentally defective Joe Biden stumble us into World War III. I guess if Donald Trump was still in office, he'd just go ahead and kick it all off. He wouldn't even stumble into it. He'd charge into it. He wants to see more weapons sent into Ukraine. He believes that Vladimir Putin is, nobody's seen anything like this invasion of Ukraine since World War II. He ignores all of the American invasions of just the past 20 years, 30 years. So I'm going to keep going with this. He's got some other plans for Ukraine, and this, I just find this interesting. I know I'm not unaccustomed to the mental gymnastics people go through. You really got to stretch out your brain and twist it into all kinds of crazy knots. It's gotta hurt to try to figure out how this is actually a good thing, what he's saying. But, you know, Donald Trump's a guy, he wants everybody to see him as the toughest guy around. And so he's willing to, go toe-to-toe with Vladimir Putin over Ukraine to exercise his toughness.
Nobody knew how well those javelins would do and how well they're, but those javelins that knocked out all the tanks, those were sent by me, and we sent them in large numbers, too. I didn't even realize at the time when I sent them, I said, man, you know, that's a lot of stuff we're sending, but let's do it. Let them have a chance. Who would have thought that they would have been so powerful the way they protected that country? But they need other kinds of help. And one thing I do rapidly is that get the oil flowing, because if you reduce the price of oil significantly, that war is going to end. That war is going to end. Well, you know the expression, what you need for war is three things: money, money, and money.
Yeah, and the U.S. taxpayers are handing it over, hand over fist right now.
And if you bring down the price of oil, and you could knock the hell out of the price, I had it down to $1.71 at one point. In fact, it was so low that I was afraid we were going to lose our oil company.
Well,
you got to get that oil down. And if you get the oil down, that war is going to end.
But let me press you again on what extra military help you would give to the Ukrainians. You say you want to do more than just the MiG jets or the Javelins.
Yeah. Or the $54 billion.
But what more?
Well, I think the drones are just as effective as anything nowadays. Yeah. I mean, they make drones today. We have drones that are just as effective as just about anything in the air, anything you can do in the air. And you can do drones, plus they give back tremendous amounts of information, and the information leads missiles right to whatever the hell target they are, and you don't have to shoot them from Ukraine, so therefore you're being neutral. It's so ridiculous. Look, Stuart, when he goes in and he kills thousands of people, are we going to just sit by and watch? This country will be, in 100 years from now, they'll be talking about what a travesty, what a horrible thing this is.
So he goes on. I'm going to skip ahead to another part of the interview I want to bring, because I could probably do this. It's 10 minutes. I don't want to play the whole thing, but I did want to skip ahead to this. I thought this was kind of interesting for those people out there who are, you know, not really down with the Ukrainian war. They understand that Russia was provoked into this. Not that I support what they do, but I certainly don't want to kick off World War III by sending all the weapons and the drones, and so proud of the Javelins that have been murdering ethnic Russians for the last 4 years after Trump sent them. Those were all taxpayer-funded, too. It's funny, I didn't hear the right really upset about the big weapons packages being sent into Ukraine under Donald Trump when Joe Biden and the Democrats do it. Granted, it is a whole different level. But it is the weapons packages that Donald Trump sent into Ukraine that further provoked Russia into what we're seeing today. We're not supposed to connect those things. I know. I'm a weirdo. But this was kind of interesting. One of the things that I see a lot of Trump's base really kind of clue into is the fact that, you know, this is the Ukrainian government is just massively corrupt. And this Zelensky character, as I told you, he's doing a special presentation to Roger Wicker and the rest of the attendees at the World Economic Forum. Zelensky is a globalist. He's a climate change guy. He's woke. He's a globalist. Zelensky is a globalist. Let's see what Donald Trump has to say about Vladimir Zelensky.
Strongly that he made a threat, actually, to Biden, and that wasn't reported. So we should get a tape of the call, just like we did with my perfect call to the president of Ukraine, which is the reason I like him so much. One reason.
Yeah. And how about that? Donald Trump turns out to be a very big fan of Vladimir Zelensky. That's why I like him very much.
And now he's proven to be, because he stood up for me with that call. He said Trump did nothing wrong. He didn't threaten me. He could have gone the other way. Could have gone woke like guys like Bill Barr do.
Do you respect Putin?
Well, he's a different person. I'll tell you something. I got along with him. And look, I got along with him loving this country, and he loves his country, okay?
But somehow I was convinced during my 4 years to endlessly sanction him and participate in the villainization of Russia, because the warmongers I put into my administration convinced me that that was the tough thing to do. See, Trump likes anybody who praises him or does what he wants. Essentially, that's what it is, and that's for anybody who supports him. Should you lead astray, criticize him, take a different position than he does, suddenly you need to be run out of the Republican Party, and you're a has-been, and you never were any good, and you were always a terrible entertainer, and we know what the playbook is. It's not about who that person is. It's the agreement that they have with Donald Trump. See, he really likes his base, not because he really cares about his base, my opinion, judging by the actions of the 4 years. And believe me, I know I'm getting unpopular-er and unpopular-er as I say these things. But he likes his base because they genuflect before him and they chant his name. When you break ranks, he'll throw you under the bus. But he thinks Zelensky is a good guy because he was nice to Donald Trump. We need to forget that Zelensky is a globalist puppet, and we need to send him more weapons to fight Russia. We need to get off the sidelines. Again, the title of this video of Trump's interview with the warmongering Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs always has General Jack Keane on, the guy who sits on the board of directors of multiple defense contractors and tells you every war is one we need to get involved in. We need to forget that Vladimir Zelensky runs one of the most corrupt governments in the world. We need to forget that Vladimir Zelensky sits atop a Nazi government rife with Nazis that has been attempting to ethnically cleanse entire parts of their own country, massacring some of their own people, killing 14,000 ethnic Russians. We need to forget all those things and think Zelensky's a good guy because he was nice to Trump. And we need to forget that Vladimir Zelensky is a World Economic Forum tool to kick off this fight between the globalists and Russia. And think only that, you know, he was nice to Donald Trump. So Zelensky's. So I guess Trump may have as much success selling his base on Zelensky and widening the war in Ukraine as he's had with Operation Warp Speed and convincing his base to take the experimental gene therapy. Now I'll take a break so you can stretch out mentally. You know, you're really going to have to twist yourself into knots to explain to me how what Donald Trump just said is any different from Lindsey Graham and the rest of the warmongers that are trotting around sending $54 billion to Ukraine and sending them weapons, leading us further down. And I'll tell you, I play this entire 10 minute, 11 second video with Stuart Varney, where Trump tells us what he would do. Do you know the word diplomacy was not mentioned one time? Not one time. I don't think I missed it. I listened to this thing twice. I was kind of amazed by what I was listening to with Donald Trump say, oh, we need to get off the sidelines. We need to really engage. We need to send as many weapons over there to kill as many Russians as possible. It's just the path to World War III, and apparently Donald Trump would have actually accelerated it. I may actually be happy that Joe Biden may buy us 6 months before World War III. Oh, Joe Biden and whoever's behind him will get us there, but at least we'll have 6 months more of time. We're buying time. Like I say, I've heard Trump supporters give him a pass on pushing the vaccine and Operation Warp Speed, so maybe this is an easy one, how you can convince me that he's on the right side of this. We do need to send. I didn't think we needed to send weapons and money over to Ukraine. I didn't think this was all Vladimir Putin's fault, but then I heard Donald Trump, and he explained it perfectly. It is all Vladimir Putin's fault, and we need to send more money and weapons over there. So if you want to call and explain to me how that makes sense, Trump and NBC need to take a look at their own archives. I ran across this story in 2014. Somebody send this to Trump. This is a 2014 NBC story. Germans were confronted with images of their country's dark past on Monday night when German public broadcaster ZDF showed video of Ukrainian soldiers with Nazi symbols on their helmets in its evening newscast. In a report on the fragile ceasefire in eastern Ukraine, Moscow correspondent Bernard Lichte used pictures of a soldier wearing a combat helmet with the SS runes of Hitler's infamous black uniformed elite corps. A second soldier was seen with a swastika on his gear. Quote, volunteer battalions from nearly every political spectrum are reinforcing the government's side, the ZDF spokesman said in his report. So people accidentally paid attention to what they were seeing on their screen on the ZDF, the German public broadcaster, and it just turns out they had swastikas and the lightning bolt SS emblem on the Ukrainian soldiers' uniforms. Oops. But these are the people that we need to support. And Trump says we need to get off the sidelines to help these Nazis against Vladimir Putin. Killing 14,000 ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine is not enough. We need to be killing all the Russians we possibly can. World War III be damned. We need to appear to be tough. As I said, this is one of the most disgusting interviews I've heard Donald Trump give in quite a while. Be right back.
A shotgun in my hands, behind the gun, I'll make my final stand. Yeah, and that's why they call me Bad Company. I can't deny.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, phone number 601-879-0002. If you want to call and explain to me why Donald Trump saying we need to get off the sidelines in Ukraine and help that Nazi government fight for its survival. And I'm all ears. I could use a good joke today. I need a laugh because that was pretty gross to me. As long as Donald Trump is number one for the Republican nomination for president in 2024, I will continue segments like this because I believe people have been duped. That's just to that. I was duped. That's not anything really to be ashamed of. I voted for Trump in 2016. Of course, it was about 6 weeks when I started seeing all the globalists lining up to enter his cabinet. I went, 12 Goldman Sachs guys? That doesn't sound right for a populist movement. Now, Ron DeSantis, I certainly appreciate what he has done in Florida. A lot of people that I respect that have gotten to know him really believe he's kind of the real deal. I'm a bit of a Ron DeSantis fan. I won't mind moving if they try to roll out the monkeypox on us now. I may be relocating to Florida toot sweet. I believe Ron DeSantis has got some foreign policy issues himself that I would not agree with. So we'll deal with that when the time comes and he starts putting out foreign policy statements should he decide to run. But for right now, your number one contender for the Republican nomination is Donald Trump. I'm like the Leah Remini. Leah Remini did that special. She was a former Scientologist, and then she went out and did her A&E special about Scientology. I think I'm the Leah Remini of conservative talk radio, trying to tell people to run away from the cult. It's not good for you. It's not what you've been led to believe. And I know that's wildly unpopular. Let's see just how unpopular. I got a caller on the phone. Caller, are you with me?
Oh, yes, sir. How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Oh, you popular me because I be saying the same thing to all the other hosts on the channel. No, they all Trump is the greatest president since sliced bread.
Talk, yep.
You know, with Ken Wade and the rest of them. So I had to call in and let them know, hey, Democrats and Republicans the same thing, with just different names now.
Yeah,
they all the same. And then he just keep,
I suspect there's a lot of parties here at WIAB that I'm not invited to. Sometimes I come in and there's, you know, red solo cups around, a little confetti is still on the floor, and I think, what's going on here? I didn't make any kind of a party. Now, I just I vehemently disagree with people, and I'm ready to debate anybody on it. But this particular issue of Trump coming out and saying we need to get off the sidelines in Ukraine, I can't disagree with that anymore. And so,
well, see, then you ain't gonna have too many to call in and disagree with because they probably ain't gonna listen to your show once you start the segment. Right. They were here to change the channel to something else, to probably Mississippi Talk, and they go listen that till you get on, till you get off, then they'll come back over.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Don't let the station owner hear you say that, but I think you're probably exactly right. There's plenty of Mississippi, I call them WGOP stations out there that will continue to run the line that Trump was the greatest president we've ever seen. So I am the turd in the punch bowl, self-described.
Well, that's a good thing. It's glad to hear somebody who's got their own thought. Because like I tried to tell them, I said, all Republicans ain't good, all Democrats ain't bad.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. On the personal level, the Democratic Party's lost its ever-loving mind. I don't know what's happened to them. But as far as people, you know, I'm against really the entire political class. And as soon as somebody rises to the top of it, be it Trump or anybody else, boy, they are fair game to me because none of them have our best interests at heart.
Exactly. That's what I've been trying to tell them, those. But
yep.
You know how it goes. They just want to hear their side. They,
yep.
They just want to hear their propaganda. You know, they people right, other people wrong.
People love tribes. They love to be a part of a tribe and of a group. I do, too. You know, I like to be popular. I like to have fun with other people, but I think we should get past tribalism. Our world is advanced enough where you don't have to have a tribe around you. I'm all about independent thought. It takes me where it takes me.
Exactly. Me, too. Cause like I say, to me, today, They all the same now. It's just different names. I mean, like you talking about Trump, all the stuff that he did. I bet and all his base gonna say, well, he did that because the Democrats forced him and they made him vote for him, even though the Republicans controlled the party, the whole, with the, what, all three branches then?
Well, they had 2 years of that and then 2 years of Democrat control of the Congress. So, yeah, it's the same scam, back and forth, two wings of the same bird. We keep trying every single combination. None of them seem to work. But, man, I appreciate the call. I got to jump to a break, but I appreciate it. I want to get to another topic real quick.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, so there we go. There's one person out there still listening to me. I am fully aware of what I'm doing here on this station. I call them like I see them, like it or not. I'll be right back.
World has gone insane. Things are starting to get heavy. I can't help but think I haven't felt this way since I asked you to go steady. Wondering, would you be my little quarantine? Or is this the way it ends? 'Cause I told you.
All right, final segment for the day, to the great relief of many, I'm sure. Look, I'm not saying Donald Trump didn't do some good things. I'm saying the hero worship around Donald Trump is bizarro world to me at this point. You're just asking me to ignore so many things that, you know, I'm pretty familiar with the Trump base, pretty familiar with a lot of their views on things, and boy, do they have to ignore a whole lot of things. You look at the Trump administration, globalists were never richer than when Trump left office. Now, they're richer now than they were then. I maybe had a little dip over the past couple of weeks as the NASDAQ dips, but I kind of believe most of the uber wealthy have probably already exited the markets. And it's going to be the retail investor that's left holding the bag. But, you know, asset prices are taking a bit of a dip now, so they could. But so Joe Biden will certainly enrich. I looked at BlackRock's assets under management. It started out at Trump's term at $6.5 trillion. By the end of Trump's term, it was $8.9 trillion. And then during the Biden administration, it went over $10 trillion. It's retreated a little bit, but it's right still around $10 trillion. So somebody just needs to explain to me the difference in these people on the big directions of things. Now, I'm not talking about rhetoric. I'm not talking about tweets. I'm not talking about words. I'm talking about the direction of the country. Now, there's some things I would rather have Donald Trump as a president right now than Joe Biden. Joe Biden is so bad, makes me so nervous. He really does. I mean, you just feel like this guy is just one mini stroke comment away from really launching us into World War III or pulling the plug on the whole economy. I mean, Joe Biden's an absolute disaster. But that does not mean that Donald Trump was great, not in my mind anyway. You know, it's really bizarro world. I've talked about this. So many things are just completely backwards. Very, very weird stuff. You know, the loving left suddenly in love with pharmaceutical companies. I mean, it's 180 degrees over the course of about 18 months from where it was before, just showing how easy it is to lead people. You know, liberals, Democrats were all calling out the pharmaceutical companies for all these massive profits they were making and how they're just greedy corporations doing anything for a buck. And then 18 months later, they've been so fear-mongered to that suddenly they believe that Pfizer and Moderna are the great saviors. They're getting tattoos with Pfizer on their shoulder. It's so weird. But especially these days in this country, as we, you know, the mainstream media tries to get us all woke. We're all about love and tolerance and diversity. We're anti-racist. This is, you know, who America is pretending to be these days with all of these wokesters out there. And yet we're funding a Nazi government in Ukraine. Large elements of it are Nazi. Not everybody, not every Ukrainian is a Nazi for sure, any more than all of us are psychopaths just because we're run by a bunch of psychopaths. But large parts of the Ukrainian army in particular are Nazis. Now, it's bizarre enough for woke America with all of our inclusivity and tolerance and diversity to actually be funding the master races war against Vladimir Putin. That's odd enough. And then I run across this story. Israeli arms are being sent to a heavily armed neo-Nazi militia in Ukraine, the Electronic Intifada has learned. Azov Battalion online propaganda shows Israeli-licensed Taver rifles in the fascist group's hands, while Israeli human rights activists have protested arms sales to Ukraine on the basis that weapons might end up with anti-Semitic militias. Gee, you think? There's a picture that accompanies this story. This is Third Reich stuff. Have you seen the tats on some of these soldiers, these Ukrainian soldiers? They look like biker gangs of white supremacists. They look exactly like what the media is trying to paint every conservative as. While they tell you that in this country, white supremacy is the biggest problem we've got, which is obviously ridiculous, we are actually funding through the government that tells you this. This is Joe Biden telling you that white supremacy is the big problem. It's got to be stamped out in the United States. While he sends $54 billion U.S. dollars to a government run by anyone, white supremacist. This picture with this story is them doing this, fist on the heart salute here. The Azov Battalion uses the Nazi wolf's angle symbol as its logo. Its founder, Andrei Biletsky, he's in the center of this picture, has moved to ban, quote, race mixing, unquote, in the Ukrainian parliament. Israel is providing them with weapons. June 26th letter, this was from a couple of years ago. Let's see when this story was written. This is from 2018. The June 26th letter was sent in reply to Israeli lawyer Itay Mack, who had written a detailed request demanding Israel end all military aid to the country. Azov's official status in the Ukrainian armed forces means it cannot be verified that, quote, Israeli weapons and training are not being used by anti-Semitic nor neo-Nazi soldiers. Cannot be verified that they're not being used. They had written that Ukrainian armed forces use rifles made in Israel, quote, and are trained by Israelis, according to reports in the country. You've got literal Jews training literal Nazis in Ukraine, just to add to Bizarro World and to show you that so many of these big narratives out there are just, they're just ridiculous. We have no idea what's really going on and the corruption behind all this stuff. The Taver, this is an Israeli weapon. It's one of the prime weapons of the Azov Brigade. Or at least it was until they were surrounded in the steel plant in Azovstal, whatever the place was called. And I think they were just dispatched and capitalized last time. So Israel has been arming and training Nazis in Ukraine and radical Muslims in the Middle East. I got it. Makes perfect sense to me. I did stories where Israel was actually going across the border in Syria and bringing back wounded radical jihadists, patching them up and sending them back into the battlefield over in Syria to fight against the Syrian government. They tell us that radical Muslims and Nazis are the biggest enemies to the Jewish people on the face of the earth, yet they seem to be trading and training these same groups. Seems a little odd to me, but, I'm a simple man. Complex things are lost on me. There was a report that Ukrainian officials said that the U.S. was planning on helping Ukraine sink some of the Black Sea ships of the Russian Navy. This has been challenged by people here in the United States that said we most certainly are not doing that. I have no idea where the truth lies there. Some of these, this may be another one of these situations where we've got the Pentagon facing off with the CIA in Ukraine. We've seen this on the battlefield. We have just lived through a time, and this just, the craziness of what we see is just cannot be lost on us. We have just lived through a time just a few short years ago where you had CIA-funded radical jihadists in Syria fighting against U.S. Army Pentagon soldiers. Think about that for a second. The CIA is funding radical jihadists that our regular military is facing off with on the battlefield. And it really shouldn't come as any real big surprise that we're sending a bunch of weapons to a Nazi government in Ukraine. We were dropping weapons to ISIS for years in the Middle East. No, we said we weren't dropping them to them. It's just that we happened to drop a bunch of weapons in the middle of the desert, and there happened to be nobody around, and then it just happened to be ISIS that stumbled upon them somehow and ended up taking all of these weapons. We just happened to have given the Taliban $85 billion worth of U.S. weapons left in Afghanistan. We just happened to have not noticed when ISIS was running this huge oil operation from the captured Syrian oil fields up to Turkey to get the oil processed and sold onto the market, where they raised billions of dollars. They ran what were called like ant lines of tanker trucks through the desert. There's no trees to hide them. They're just, I mean, you've seen pictures of a highway going through the desert, right? Pretty easy to spot. We've got all this huge monitoring equipment everywhere. We got our satellites. We got our drones. We got our spy planes. We got everything. But we didn't notice this, and I think it went on for about 13 or 16 months. We didn't happen to notice ISIS running tanker convoys between Syrian oil fields and Turkey for processing. Then when we finally did, you know who did notice it? Russia. Russia noticed it. And Russia realized that that was one of the things that was being used to fund these insane jihadists in Syria. And Russia was asked by the government of Syria to come in and help protect them. So Russia was there. And so Russia started taking action against it. You know what happened then? This is one of the funniest things in the world. The U.S. said, oh, now we see it, too. You know, we'd pretended not to see it. Oh, we see it, too. So you know what the U.S. did? We dropped pamphlets over this tanker line and said, hey, in about 3 hours, we're going to come back and we're going to have to blow up some of these tankers, so y'all might want to scatter. We warned ISIS ahead of time that we were going to take out some of their trucks. You can look all this stuff up. I've covered it endlessly on this show before. Nothing that you see is as it appears. You got it, Jewish people funding neo-Nazis, and woke people here in the United States all about equality and equity here funding Nazis too. This is a strange world. I am not down with what's going on. See you tomorrow.